Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
Somewhere between science and superstition.
We have such sights to show you.
Strange Eons. Welcome to Strange Eons Radio. That's Eric over there.
Hello.
That is Vanessa over there.
Hello.
I am Kelly, and we are recording our first show of 2023, Whoa. You guys.
Oh, my God.
We are living in the future.
This is so weird.
You know what movie takes place in 2023?
Oh, I do.
Which one?
You brought it up, Bob.
Oh, Zardoz.
That's right.
Zardoz.
So go out there, and if you have no idea what Zardoz is, please go Google Sean Connery and get your cosplay on now.
Well, listener, Eric is wearing a incredibly tight leather red vest and thigh-high boots. I appreciate the level of accuracy here, but maybe never again.
That's fair. I'm good with that.
Especially in 42-degree weather or whatever we're at today.
Right. Those nipples are hard.
Oh, my God, you guys.
Also,
is this
listener,
what 2023 is going to be like?
We are recording a nighttime show. It's not Vanessa's fault this time.
Yay!
But what happens when you get a nighttime show is that Kelly has been drinking all day.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I assume you're still on vacation and that you didn't have work today, so you got to just relax.
You know, let's say yes to that. You know what else I have been doing all day, and it is part of my 2023 goals?
Oh.
I've been writing all day.
Yay.
Oh, wow, nice.
I wrote 4,000 words today.
Whoa.
Jesus Christ.
And I've set goals for myself that include illustrated chapbooks, novellas,
wow.
Film, Eric.
Oh, yeah.
Audio, Rick Tillman, if you're listening. audio books, Vanessa, if you're listening. I have all sorts of things that I want to do this year, and you are all involved.
Yay. That's fantastic. Hey, that anything we can help you on.
That's exactly what I was doing today, too, is planning out the year of how to do, okay, I've got this project and this one. What are we going to do? So I'm right there with you.
Very excellent. I will also say this. You're going to hear more Strange Eons Radio product in the form of this Amityville Horror podcast that Eric and I are doing.
Yes.
What?
In fact, next weekend, Vanessa will be joining us, and that will be the third of the Amityville Horror Podcast, and we will start releasing them then. I think they're going to be released on their own stream, but also as extra added boner content.
So drunk.
We'll just see how it works out. We'll go with it.
I was so excited about a boner contest that...
You couldn't stop it.
Right.
You're like, guess what I've enrolled in, guys?
My point is this. You're going to hear more of my drunken rambling throughout the year.
Fantastic. I think that is the greatest gift any of us could have wished for the 2022 into 2023 season.
Oh, my.
All right. Enough about my boner. You guys.
Yes.
Yes.
I watched a movie called Yule Log.
I keep hearing stuff about it, but I've not yet dived in. How long is Yule Log?
It is a feature film.
Oh, yeah, my God.
It's a movie. It's not like one of those YouTube videos that goes for 10 hours.
It is the Adult Swim version of Yule Log. So the first 15 minutes is the Yule Log video with stuff going on. And then it, of course, turns into something far, far more than that. So it is not just staring at a fireplace the entire feature length.
Interesting. Okay.
It was so entertaining.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Eric, you saw it.
Yeah. I would say it's one of the, well, it's Adult Swim. So, you know, you don't have to connect too far that expecting stupid shit and dumb things that are really cool.
Yes.
Is par for the course. And I think they delivered that, especially in a few of the scenes.
Written and directed by the same guy who came up with the, Too Many Cooks.
That's why I'm afraid to watch it, because Too Many Cooks was so much that I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready for a Yule.
This may
log.
Be too much, but I guarantee you I will watch this again next year.
Aww.
There's Indian Curses and Aliens.
Oh, my God.
And they do a great job where I'm sitting there going, well, what about And then,
yes,
like a scene or two later, it comes back. It's like, okay, cool.
Yes, oh, there's, wow, there's a little bit of Texas Chainsaw Massacre in there. It's an amazing little flick, and I will definitely watch it. I feel very blessed that this year we got Violent Night and Yule Log, yeah, as very classic or neoclassic Christmas films. I'll be watching both of those again.
Oh, for sure.
Easily.
This has been a good year for that was, holiday films.
What was that on? Was that HBO?
Or no?
Yeah.
It's on HBO, but it was Adult Swim.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I'm kind of past Christmas to an extent because I think I watched too many of those like bad Christmas romance movies. Ooh. So I was like, all right, back to normal films. I got to catch up before the end of the year. So I watched a film I've been kind of putting off. Don't Worry, Darling. Did either of you guys end up seeing that?
I can't remember.
That's the Olivia Wilde film, right?
Yep, the Olivia Wilde with...
Please tell me.
I now understand the criticism that a lot of people have been giving. It is very derivative of other things greater than itself. There's a lot of stealing. There's a lot of Stepford Wives nods. There's Jacob's Ladder nods. This is not, this is not really something super original. It feels just like somebody had a cool idea they didn't really know what to do with and just kept stealing from other places to fill in all the gaps. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of tough. The acting is fine. There's some fun moments as far as like weird visual scenes, but the story is extremely disappointing. So, I think it's, for me, I just wanted to see it, and I was curious, but I got kind of pissed off when there was a band playing in the background of one of the scenes, literally called the Dollhouse Band. And I was like, you guys can fuck right out the door. Thank you very much. I know my feminist literature. I'm good. Bye. So, yeah, it was fine. I'm glad I saw it, but I'm never, ever going to watch it again.
I'm disappointed to hear that. I'm always rooting for Olivia Wilde. I don't think anybody's given her a real chance. She's so ugly.
She's had so many chances.
Oh, what? You don't say.
I thought you were serious, and your drunken acting ability is just sharp and on point. But yeah, the girl, I've forgotten her name now, who's the lead in it, who is...
Is that the woman from Midsommar?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. She was fucking awesome. So she steals the whole show.
Pugh.
Florence Pugh.
There you go. Pugh.
Pugh.
P-U.
Yeah, she's pretty good. She can perform well.
Yeah. So. She's got a lot in there. And I think she was like, I'm going to actually act in this movie and everyone else can just try to catch up.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I saw one of the horror movies of the year that I haven't seen yet. Terrifier 2.
Oh, sure. Okay.
A lot of the same problems the first one had, but it's actually a movie this time. There is a story attempted over the insanely long 2 hours and 20 minute runtime. The violence is on par. It's what you expect. If you want to see nothing but a nonstop gore movie, this is your movie. There's lots of gore. Well, not quite nonstop, because there's a lot of really long scenes. Like, I can probably trim this down. But then I watched that and I watched a little bit of a making of afterwards. $200,000 budget. Damn. They nailed it. For that much money, what they put on screen is stunning. The over-the-top gore is ridiculously well done most of the time, not all the time. So if that's what you want, this movie delivers that. Exactly. And they made a shit ton of money because I know they had like a mini theatrical hit out of that thing.
Whoa, that's incredible.
Would you say this is a good movie?
There's a few things about Terrifier that I'm a little disappointed in. I think it's cool to see a new horror icon emerge. I wish he was anything other than a clown.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, because the originality and weirdness of Freddy is great. Pinhead is great. Somehow just putting on a hockey mask to a guy makes it feel a little more like it was an effort to do something different. But it's a clown. I've seen killer clowns in hundreds of films.
Mm-hmm.
The guy performing it is really good because he never talks. He's completely silent. They had a little, like a little girl version of him in this one that was creepy as hell. Mm. The story's fine. It's good enough for a film along these lines. But boy, I don't see anybody going through this movie for anything other than the kills, and they deliver on that.
I've heard that Terrifier 2 is like a better done version of Terrifier, and it's almost like you don't need to see the first one. You can just see the second one.
I don't need to see the first one. I didn't find any need to have seen that one, which I did, but there's nothing.
Would you say it's like basically a redoing of the first one, or is it a totally new story?
The first film is basically a bunch of violent set pieces.
Okay.
Violence to violence with a tiny little beginning in a restaurant to kick everything off.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, it's basically just killing for killing, and there's no story, even less than like Friday the 13th or something. This one attempted a story, had some pretty good acting. Some of the people in it were pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
But still stunned that it's a $200,000 movie.
That's crazy.
What they pulled off for 200 grand is damn.
That's awesome.
So I made it through about 40 minutes of this and finally gave up. It's just not for me, but there's a part of me that's super happy that a film like this had that theatrical response.
Yes.
And it makes me feel good for the horror community. There's a group of people who really are very passionate about this film.
Yeah.
The filmmakers, I'm like, hey, yay, you guys. Mm-hmm. How cool is this? I don't know if they set this all up and expected to get that kind of response at the theater level, but that is really cool. And there's just something about me that feels good that it exists for us.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if he's a friend on Facebook or somebody just I follow. It's nobody I actually know, but it's somebody, you know, friend.
Sure.
Was one of the producers. And his posts on this thing, I was following as it hit the theater and then blew up and blew up and blew up. And they were so much fun to read.
Oh, cool. Like,
oh, man. And then the day Stephen King gave them the quote that they use on their box art about it being old-fashioned gore horror or something like that, that was a lot of fun to read those, too. Because the guy's like, oh, my God. So I can't hate on a film like this. Because the first one I had some real problems with because it wasn't a movie. This one at least is a movie. It could have been a really gargantuan scene-eating movie at about 140, 150 minutes.
Late.
I still would have been long, but some of the gore scenes are so long, you know, so I could see where it could be an extended thing. But there's an extension that just kind of slows it a little bit. But boy, if you know what you're getting when you go into this, so you're probably going to like it, or you're not going to watch it.
Very cool. Okay. Okay, I'm watching something you guys are not watching, but probably should.
Okay.
But you're going to have to help me. How do you pronounce Takashi Miike?
M-I-I-K-E,
yeah.
Miike.
Miike? Okay. Mm. He's got a show on Hulu called Connect.
Oh, okay.
It is really cool.
Hmm.
It is so fucking weird. Eric, I know that you just like me, weird shit where you're like, well, where does this come from? So it starts off with a guy who gets kind of abducted and ends up getting one of his eyes ripped out and stolen at, you know, like a organ farm type thing.
Okay.
And they assume he's dead. And then he kind of comes back to life. And now he is searching for the person who has his eye, who happens to be a serial killer, who he gets images of the people he's killing. So he's hunting the serial killer. Also, whenever he gets hurt, he starts healing again by these weird fucking tentacle things. And
what?
He doesn't even exactly know why it's happening. And it is so bizarre and out there. I don't think anybody's talking about it. I don't know why. It's really cool.
It's on Hulu?
Hulu, yeah.
Holy shit. Yeah, I went through it. Takeshi phase where I watched a whole shit ton of his movies, then realized he's like one of the most prolific filmmakers in the world.
Yeah.
And he makes so many movies. So it's like, okay, well, maybe I'll slow down and watch because some of his stuff is really, really, really weird.
This is bizarre as shit. It is called Connect because the guy who does this is called a connector because when things happen, like his arms get cut off, they can start connecting again.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
It is so weird. I'm really, really enjoying it.
But his eye is gone, so he can, is this like a
healing
thing?
That's the problem. So he's got like a patch on his eye because this other guy has his eye. Otherwise, if something gets removed from him and he gets close enough to it,
it just slaps back on.
They all start to tentacle together again.
Oh my God. That's so weird.
Yep. Oh, they just added that to the list.
Oh. Well, I went and saw the most popular film currently available, which is Avatar 2.
Oh, thank God somebody saw that.
Way of the Water. Yeah. Yeah.
I know it's just been bombing at the theater.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that poor Cameron kid. He just can't catch a break. Yeah, I mean, I had to get tickets in advance, like 2 weeks ahead, because like every screening was sold out. So I went on a weekday at like 2 p.m. and it was totally packed.
How many times have you seen it now?
One.
Oh, just one.
Okay. Just one. Yeah, I saw it at IMAX. So
there you go.
There's a lot to like about it. It's beautiful. The water textures, the way that they're dealing with landscapes. Pretty cool. It's a lot more Save the Whales than I expected.
Fern Gully.
It's Fern Gully, but now we're like Free Willy. He's just doing like all the elemental, like environmental movies, I think. I think he's just a huge environmentalist. I did not realize. It feels a lot more like a James Cameron film in the pacing and the action. There's like a really stressful boat sinking, submarine sinking scene that you're like, fuck, like the whole way through. Unfortunately, as an editor, when you decide to do something like randomly have 48 frames per second because it's sharper and will show off your CGI better, mm-hmm. but in random moments, I am going to know.
Random? They switched in and out 48
frames? In and out.
Holy shit.
In and out. Like many times. So every once in a while, you'll see something that's like practical or they're just walking and you're like, oh, thank fuck. We're going to be normal film speed again. And then they kick into an action film. Then all the blue people start crawling up trees and jumping in water. And it looks so weird and so super sped. And you're like, it's so dumb looking to me. And that kind of brought me out of it a lot of the time. So as good as it is, I would say do your best to not watch it in IMAX, or maybe, I don't know. I don't know how to say this, but find a way to watch it where it's going to be a cinematic experience. And not like a technical roller coaster ride. Yeah.
Wild. That's sort of how I felt about the first one. It's like, man, that was so cool to see in the theater, but I haven't watched it ever again.
I rewatched it right before this one, and I was actually pleasantly surprised. Yeah, I was like, good. This is way better than I remember it being. I've been ragging on this film for a long time. Maybe I shouldn't have been. So, if you could watch it on Blu-ray, God, that'd be great. I can just imagine.
I don't know when I'll see this. I have very little interest in it. I didn't hate the first one, but I didn't really like it. But I did think, Eric, you'll remember, I was like, he needs a Best Picture award for this film because it was so groundbreaking.
Right.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And it made whatever, a gazillion dollars. You give a guy an award for making a gazillion dollars, don't you?
Yeah, you'd think.
No. Yeah, fuck all those guys. I hate the Academy Awards.
The truly accurate awards. The was it the Blockbuster Awards that I don't think are around anymore? Or
the MTV Movie Awards.
Yeah.
Billboard Awards.
I want to see an award for Best Kiss if I'm going to see any award.
I want to see Sarah Michelle Gellar making out with somebody. I don't care who. Somebody just get up on stage with her.
Go Giles.
I volunteer.
No.
So I watched another one. The Please Don't Go Away Shudder Top Crawl had a new movie. So I was like, well, let's watch it. Burial.
Oh.
Have either of you seen about this one? It's the story of a group of, I believe it's Russians, that are transporting Hitler's body.
Oh, no.
Oh, I heard about this. Is it good?
I thought it's pretty good.
I need to see this. I saw the trailer for this.
Yeah. I mean, and part of the reason was I, maybe not knowing my World War II knowledge well enough, I was expecting real werewolves. And so that was, I get it now.
You heard about the werewolves of the SS and you were disappointed that they were not
werewolves.
Well,
I read, what was the wolf of the guy who wrote Swan Song.
The Wolf's Hour.
Wolf's Hour. which, you know, was.
Yes, of course.
Exactly. Wait, so it's on Shudder, and it's a Hitler film, when they use werewolves, but they're not actually werewolves.
They're not werewolves. I'd seen the... when it's on the top up there, I just watch it. Yeah. I don't read it. I don't watch trailers. But I did see werewolf in the description or something. It's a German... I don't know exactly what their history was, but the rogue German officer or German soldiers after the war.
They were,
clearing, just kind of being a pain in the ass.
Okay.
And that was one of what they were called.
Huh. Interesting.
Speaking of which, Hollywood, when are we going to get a Wolf Sauer movie?
Oh, man. That would be so good.
So good. All right, guys. How about we take a break? I'll have another drink.
And a coffee. And some water. More water.
Thanks, Mom.
Finish this water.
And then we're doing something cool this episode. We are talking about our five favorite films this year. 2022.
Look, Battlestar Galactica, all action toys. Evil, non-human, Cylon Centurions with helmet scanners, breastplate pulsators, laser pistols. Treacherous enemies of the freedom-loving colonial warriors, also with scanners and laser pistols. Battle in space. Fly the Cylon Raider with laser torpedoes concealed in the wings until you choose to attack. Blast off in the colonial Viper with its laser torpedo in the nose and adjustable wings. And here's the colonial Stellar Probe, which even has its own satellite. Amazing colonial scarab. Or launch vehicles of your own, assembled from colonial vehicle parts in seconds. And from your own colonial Viper launch station, you can attack Cylon targets with special Viper missiles that really fly. Battlestar Galactica, all action toys from Mattel.
Hello?
Let's see who's called the Strange Eons radio hotline.
Micah again. I'm driving across state lines about 85 miles an hour in sleet and almost snow, and it just occurred to me, I'm pretty sure Chuck Norris's Invasion USA is a Christmas movie. So those are my last words. I'm kind of okay with it. Thanks. Bye.
This is Alex Rain, and female cyborgs in 2027 are called a Cybet, you animal.
If you'd like to call the Strange Eons radio hotline, dial 253-237-4266. Nobody hangs up on me.
God damn it. Can't clap today. Go.
And we have returned.
All right.
Eric, cool. Put down the gun.
Wow. Oh my God. Put down the hand. No more claps for you.
So we're going to do this the way we usually do it, which is we each have a list of our five favorite films from 2022, and we'll go round robin. And if somebody has a film that they're talking about that somebody else has lower on their list, we wait until we get to that.
To the higher one.
No, to the lower one.
Oh.
Well, wait. It depends on how you're looking at it. We're going from 5 to 1.
Okay. My brain, I'm trying math. All right, geometry. Let me get out a, calculator.
Higher on the chart, lower on the list.
Okay.
I went through a ton of movies this year looking at what I loved.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what your guys' the way that you decided and everything. Mm-hmm. There were things that I thought, oh, I really loved this, but I know Vanessa will talk about
it. What? You don't know what I'm going to talk about.
And so I've got stuff on here that I think that maybe you guys might have forgotten about.
Okay.
Or maybe wouldn't even qualify.
What?
But that's how I roll.
There
the only
you
thing
go.
That qualifies is that it was this year.
I'll remember you saying that.
Jeez Louise. Okay.
I saw this great film. It's called Alone in the Dark.
All right, I'm going to start it off. Oh, that is, Eric, you bring up a good point. We are also bringing up at the very end of this our favorite discovery of the year, regardless of what year it came out.
Yep. So exciting. I love that we're going to do that.
Yeah.
One that I don't think... Oh, how much crossover on this?
Do we think?
Yeah, I think that I've got one film that you guys have probably both got.
You guys are such like dark horses. I never know what you're actually going to pull out at the end of the year. So I'm just, I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
Eric's hung like a dark horse.
Oh my God. No. This is a terrible way to start the new year.
I'll go first.
Okay.
In my number five spot, The Atom Project.
Oh, nice.
Damn. It's a good movie.
An entertaining film.
Ryan Reynolds and Walker Scobell as a young Ryan Reynolds, directed by Sean Levy, who did the Night at the Museum movies, Real Steel, Free Guy. He's got Deadpool 3 coming up. And Vanessa, did you know he is attached to the Starman remake?
Really?
That's very exciting.
I don't know. Is it? Starman is a great movie.
Starman is
a
great movie.
We don't need a remake of that.
They've already remade it in that stupid TV show, and I'm fine with them remaking it again.
I like that stupid TV show.
Well, is Ryan Reynolds going to be in it as
I don't know. That would be interesting, right?
It could be. I don't know. I will wait. I will watch it, probably, most likely.
So I really love this movie. It's an action-adventure time-travel flick. Ryan Reynolds has decided to play every character as Deadpool now, and I'm kind of fine with that.
Yep, same.
He plays a scientist/pilot from the future who is trying to solve the mystery of what happened to his wife and his father and basically save the world. It's kind of a mashup of Back to the Future and The Last Starfighter. It felt gigantic and probably should have been in theaters, but it was a Netflix original. And I think that's really cool. It did have, I guess, a two-day theatrical release before it showed up on Netflix.
Did it really? Oh, you're like Oscar contender.
I don't think that it's going to be an Oscar contender, but I had such a great time with this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
That's a truly, truly fun film.
Number five for me,
great
The Atom
pick.
Project.
Great, great pick. Well, number five for me, something that I talked about pretty recently, actually, Knives Out, Glass Onion.
Oh, nice.
So
just watched it last night.
Oh, good. Okay, cool.
And I have seen it as well.
Oh, you guys are giving me looks like I'm not sure whether or not you actually like this movie.
Oh, I thought it was great.
Okay.
Oh, it's a lot of fun.
Oh, my God. Okay, so I really liked it. Super fun, directed by Rian Johnson, starring Daniel Craig, Ed Norton, Janelle Monáe, and, of course, a slew of just random, cool, famous people. Okay. Kate Hudson, Dave Bautista, Catherine Hahn, also guest starring appearances from Hugh Grant, Ethan Hawke, Serena Williams, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Yo-Yo Ma, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is the hourly dong.
I didn't know that.
Yep. I saw that in the theater. I was watching the credits. I was like, oh, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is this as the hourly dong.
They should have just credited him as dong.
Right? So good. I just found it clever, delightful, funny. It has a lot of twists and turns in a way that's something that's a recurring theme for me this year, that I've just really enjoyed films that surprise me.
Yeah.
It is doing something that I normally hate, which is the French mystery. And the French mystery is when you have a mystery film and the audience cannot know the answer and will not have seen the answer because it is something that has happened off screen that we don't know about and we'll find out later.
Oh, okay.
And that is something that they use in this film. And normally I hate it because I'm like, you guys are assholes and I'm not stupid. You just didn't tell me. But this time it worked so nicely. I just had such a good time.
Isn't that the same thing they did in the first movie, though?
I'm trying to remember.
Didn't we suddenly find out that his nurse
sort
had
of,
accidentally given him the wrong thing halfway through the film?
I feel like it wasn't as big of a twist.
Yeah, because right. There were clues, like when she, because we actually just watched this Thursday.
Okay.
Like when she comes down the terrace, the old lady sitting there, oh, you're back again. So they clued in a little bit that something else was going on that we need to figure out what it was, as opposed to
this where you really don't know. You would not know. Yeah.
I thought it was a lot of fun. I was the only, and this is probably a good thing to do with the sequel though. So it's probably actually a smart move. I loved the first one for what it was.
Yeah.
That mystery, mystery, mystery. Okay. At the end here, I'm going to just spew out everything that happened. This one was more, I don't think this is spoilery. It might be a little bit. So if you haven't watched it, give me 10 seconds here. And then he's part of the mystery.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He wasn't
like involved.
Yeah. He wasn't just there figuring things out. He was moving the engine forward a little bit.
Yeah.
Which was not a bad change. Just not, I was like, oh, okay, that's a different take. Yeah. And he was so much more fun.
Oh my God.
He is so ridiculous in this film.
Oh, man.
I didn't like this one as much as the first one, but I loved some moments way more than the first one. Yeah. The first part was just a little glimpse of his regular life. So seeing Hugh Grant was like, oh, that's a nice little touch. Yeah. Okay, now we've got this little thing, and I like that it's not a, what's his name? Benoit?
Benoit?
Whatever his name is.
I can think of as the wrestler.
Whatever, whatever his name is. I'm glad it wasn't an origin story,
in other words. Yes, very true.
And then the scene where they're at the dinner and Edward Norton is telling them, you know, this will be the mystery you have to solve. And he's like, well, one second. Here it goes.
So good.
I love how smart he is.
Yes. I do too. And I think my favorite part, much like that, near the end. So again, spoilers, guys. When he just starts berating Ed Norton for being so stupid.
Yes.
So delightful.
See, I didn't like that only because it was clearly Rian Johnson has a bone to pick with Elon Musk. Obviously, Edward Norton is supposed to be Elon Musk, and this was a revenge fantasy to make Elon Musk look like an idiot. And I was like, this is bigger than that. We didn't need to.
I guess I didn't pick up on that, so it probably didn't bother me with the real world comparisons. And I was just like, yeah, that guy is a tool.
Yes.
He's wearing stupid shoes.
Yep, sure.
And I do like when people in a film present themselves as being, I'm the most intelligent person in the room. Oh, well, no, I am the most intelligent person in the room. Well, the person who is sitting in the background just absorbing all the shit that's going on, waiting to point out that, no, you aren't even close to the smartest person in this room.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, I went to a small little film, not quite as big as Rogue One, but...
Strictly Ballroom.
Yes, it was a great 2022 film. Nope. Again, like I said with Knives Out, the exact movie I hoped it was going to be, and better, Top Gun Maverick.
Oh, no.
My number five pick.
I assumed you would do this, which makes me the smartest person in the room.
It sure does. It sure does.
But like I said, it's sometimes like most of the rest of my list is these movies that are, wow, this was not what I thought it was going to be, and it's really cool. This one was exactly what I was hoping it would be. I mean, there are plenty of people that hate Tom Cruise for very good reasons, but he knows exactly what he is as a film presence and knows exactly how to deliver that. And it's been so long since I've seen in a theater a non-Marvel action movie. Like, you used to get, you know, one or two every year, there'd be that Die Hard in a whatever movie or one of your favorite disaster films or something would come out. They just don't happen anymore very often. And this was just a great action, turn off your brain, Neil deGrasse Tyson, and just watch a goddamn movie.
So well designed, such great storytelling. Yeah. I mean, they knocked it out of the park in a way that I think a lot of us were like, it's going to fucking suck. You know it's going to suck. Yeah. And then it was like, oh my God, it doesn't suck. Amazing. Exactly.
I still haven't seen this, and I'm not sure why. You know that I'm fine with Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
I didn't love the original Top Gun, and maybe that's it.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I thought this would be higher up on your list, because I know this is like on a lot of people's number one spot.
Yeah, and justifiably so. Generally, a movie with Tom Cruise in it, from critics and stuff like that, ends up nowhere near top movie lists. But like I said, this was just fun.
Very nice. Okay, I gotta watch it.
So Kelly, your number four pick.
My number four. Not on your guys' list.
Mm-hmm.
The Sadness.
Oh
no, I never got to see it.
It was a contender, but yeah, it did not make the list.
Starring Bharat Zhu, Regina Lee, and Yingri Chun, written and directed by Rob Jabaz. The majority of his work, all short films, were produced in Taiwan, as was this one. But he was actually born and raised in Mississauga, Canada. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what he's up to next. Can't wait to see it. This movie played in festivals in 2021, but it didn't get an official release until 2022, and that's why I'm including it here. It is a super dark and grim zombie film, for lack of a better word, where we're charting some kind of infection that turns people into these savage, rage-infected humans. They're not undead or anything, but they're just looking to fight and kill and fuck each other, often in that order, unfortunately. Pretty horrifying.
Yeah.
And we're following two characters, a young couple who went on their regular ways the morning of the outbreak, and they're just trying to get back to each other. I would say this is the feel-bad movie of the year. Super intense, super triggering in a number of ways, but I haven't been able to stop thinking about it, and I haven't been able to stop thinking about the kind of person who writes and directs this kind of movie also.
Wow.
So I'm really interested to see what he does next.
Yeah, I think those films that stick with you, those are, I mean, regardless of whether or not they're in a traditional top 10 list, it's like, if that affected you, then that has got to be in there.
Yes, that's what it did.
Oh, incredible. I will have to check it out. My number four was Barbarian.
Oh, nice.
Did anybody have that? Okay. It's like playing bingo. Jesus. Yeah.
Well, there's a few that I really liked. Like this one that I just like, enough people have talked about it. Let's talk about the ones that I really love. But
yeah,
it certainly belongs on a top five list.
I agree.
It's so fun. Directed by Zach Krieger, who had only just done these, I think they're what, internet things? Whitest Kids You Know? Was that in TV or internet?
That was TV, but yeah. That
in Newsboys.
I didn't realize he was a Whitest Kids You Know guy.
Yep.
Yeah, all these comedians who love horror, that's kind of fun.
And he's done no other films. Like, that was all he's really done. Starring Georgina Campbell, Bill Skarsgård, and Justin Long. It's two movies in one. I did not, I had no idea what it was going to be. I'd only seen the movie poster before I went in. And I think that that was exactly how to watch it. There are just so many surprises. And I think ultimately, when you start to dissect it, looking at this from the angle of the female experience or even the Black female experience and this sort of apologetic but not truly sorry toxic masculinity, it's a horror film, but there's more happening. And I love that. Like, you can just enjoy it as a horror film, but if you start to think about it and the way in which relationships and things are set up, it's got stuff in there.
Yeah, that's true.
There's this thing about Justin Long. I don't know if he's really a nice guy. I guess I've always thought he was a nice guy, and I'm afraid to find out all these shitty people he plays in these movies is the real way he is, because that's what makes it so likable when he shows up.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah, and I saw him in one of my least favorite movies of this entire year as well, so which was like a terrible Christmas with the Campbells.
Oh, I saw him in one of my least favorites, which was I can't remember what it was called, House of Darkness or something like that, where he plays another shitty human being.
That's so weird. Funny. Yeah, yeah.
We've all seen Barbarian, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't, skip ahead.
is the bed and breakfast company that's putting this on, are they part of this? Or how are they explaining away the fact that, yeah, we rented it and then we never heard from that person again?
I'm guessing there are so few rentals, and if nobody complains, like nobody emails them and goes, hey, like my friend disappeared and last place I know they were was your place. If nobody's doing that, then maybe they're just like, we don't give a shit.
Somebody's got to go in and clean up the place afterwards and all
that.
It's one of those things where you start thinking about it and you're like, oh, okay, this
only if somebody is about to rent it again.
Right.
So if nobody's going back in there, then you don't have to clean it.
Yeah. All right.
And you do have the neighborhood surrounding it as a fail-safe.
This is true. Also, filmed in that actual neighborhood. That's what that neighborhood looks like in Detroit. It is a very, very bad part of Detroit.
Whoa. So they're like locking down their cameras at night? Like, and during the day, they just have PAs just sitting there like crying, like, no one notice us. Please don't take these cases. Oh, they're very expensive.
Boy, with that and Jordan Peele, maybe sketch comedy. More sketch comedy people need to get into making horror movies.
I think so. I think that there's a comedy comes out of tragedy. So.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I don't know. This might be on Kelly's. I doubt it would be on Vanessa's. But
la-di-da.
More of a, something in the dirt.
I didn't actually
see it. I thought about this one for a long time.
Yeah. I love these kind of, I mean, it's a different film entirely, but the My Dinner with Andre kind of movies, the, Waking Life or anything like that, where it's just this strange discussion of philosophy or the world around us. And I thought it was just, and I think it might be my favorite film for these guys. Close one was the other one when they're out in the woods, the cult, with the full cult one. Those are, that one's also pretty good. I guess they did Spring too. Anyways, they've done a lot of good damn movies.
Oh, yes. Oh, sure. Okay.
I'm even more angry at Vanessa ruining our Lovecraft Film Festival weekend, because I would love to have seen this with you, Eric, because nobody else at the theater liked this movie. And I was like, this movie is really interesting.
You know what? You only get married once. You get a HP Lovecraft Film Festival every year. Okay, sir. Sir.
Anyway, so it's a damn good film. With all the COVID films coming out where you can tell something was shot during...
Wait a second, Vanessa, did you just say you only get married once?
Shut your mouth. You turn around, sir. Leave this establishment.
You should only
get married once. If you're... Yeah, things.
Anyway, So, but this was a COVID movie done right. Well shot, well acted, well written. It didn't matter. It didn't feel awkward that there weren't a whole bunch of people in it, which frequently happens in some of these COVID films. It just worked on so many levels. So, really good.
Awesome.
There's a chance for it to explain everything away, and then they end up throwing one little thing in there that you're like, well, that doesn't make sense now. And that's what I loved about it so much.
Yes, exactly. Yes, very true. So... damn good.
All right. Number three. This might be on your guys' list. Dun-dun-dun. Prey.
It almost got on my list, but I decided not to.
Same here as I.
Oh, excellent.
Should be on my list, but nope. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Starring Amber Midthunter and Dakota Beavers. Dakota Beavers.
Okay.
Directed by Dan Trachtenberg, who directed 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Nice.
Oh. The best of the Cloverfield films.
Pretty good.
As far as I'm concerned, this film had no right being this good, especially considering every other movie featuring the Predator since the first one. I love the first Predator movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fun and dumb.
Yes.
But I think this movie is much smarter and maybe better.
Pretty good.
Yeah. It's a nice soft reboot. Yeah. Set in the early 1700s, somewhere in North America's Great Plains region. And Amber plays a young female Comanche that is skilled as any of the male warriors in her tribe, but not allowed to hunt with them. And of course, it's she who comes face to face with the Predator. There's a couple of great set pieces. I really love the Predator wiping out a settlement of French trappers. But even as good as Midthunder is, the real star of the show is her faithful companion, the Carolina dog named Coco, who had no previous movie experience.
Oh, good girl.
Yes.
Good girl, Coco.
Well, good debut.
Prey, number three for me.
Well, my number three, I don't know whether or not this might be on Eric's list.
Mm.
RRR?
It is on my list. It is higher.
It is higher? Yep. Okay. All right. Well, I will hold off then.
I will hold off on what I say about this film, because I just watched it the other day.
Uh-oh.
That's okay. You can be wrong. So this is my number, what are we, three?
Mm-hmm.
Salome, the African horror film.
Oh, sure.
That made the list. I gotta watch this.
Of the, you know, going through that, it's kind of funny. It's almost like the Shudder thing is right here underneath the IMDb. These are all from that list. A lot of good films here, but this was one of the ones, like I was talking about, that took me by surprise. I'm going, this is so much more than I expected. And the acting level of the leads is fantastic. He's one of those, one of the main guys is one of those charismatic people you see on screen sometime. You go, yeah, I believe this person could lead a whole shitload of people to do a lot of things.
Yep.
Plus, you got some really cool guy who somehow manages to chew gum and smoke and look really cool doing it and not mess that up. But there's just... it's so interesting and goes in some really strange places. Just had a really good time watching it.
Shudder really knocking it out of the park this year.
Yeah.
They really did.
You know, there's that weirdness of maybe they're going away and everything. And I, I'm wondering, oh God, who acquires these little films then afterwards? Are these going to Hulu or what? I don't know.
One can hope that one of the other Shivers or whatever the other ones are sees an opportunity and goes, you know what? We could get really good. Let's grab us some talent from Shudder and fix up and keep going because they are so good.
I'm going to write the angriest letter if this happens. It will be so scathing. Let me tell you, watch out.
Nice.
It's even better that you said it would be so scathing after that. That was good.
You have to read it on
scathing,
air.
Scathing, I say.
You'll have to read that for us if you do that.
All right, here's where I'm going to get a little pushback.
Okay, good.
All right.
In my number two slot, Werewolf by Night.
Why would... Well, that's fine. I mean, it is a film. I guess it's a short film.
Gael Garcia Bernal, Laura Donnelly, Harriet Sansom, Harris. Directed by Michael Giacchino, who is an accomplished composer with 158 blockbuster credits, mostly Disney and Pixar, surprisingly.
Weird.
This is his first feature-ish film.
Almost.
First long-form video.
Right. This was our first Marvel special presentation this year, and it was an absolute blast. I watched it three times around Halloween.
Wow.
And I feel like I'll come back to it again sometime. It's the story of a cabal of monster hunters who gather one night for a hunting competition that will crown one of them the leader of the group. And they are set out to hunt one of my favorite comic characters from the 1970s, the Man-Thing.
That's good.
So good. Such
more.
A good depiction
do
of
more.
It.
Have I ever shown you guys my giant-sized Man-Thing? It is truly something to behold.
I don't know whether this is a dirty insinuation or not.
Everyone's plans are thrown into chaos, however, by two hunters who are not what they seem. One of them is the daughter of their former leader, whom none of them has seen in many years, and the other is Jack Russell, a man who is cursed to become a werewolf in the light of the full moon. Man, this was everything I wanted from Marvel, even as I'm dealing with my superhero fatigue in movies and all that stuff. And I almost want to make this a tie with James Gunn's Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special, which I also love, but not quite as much.
Yeah.
The addition of which would certainly put this into a more traditional feature-length film. Just two different stories going on. So there you guys go.
It's an interesting anthology you put together there.
Well, Werewolf by Night is 56 minutes long, so
I feel like
not a feature.
I mean, in 2020, Host was, I don't remember if that was in my top five, but that's, you know, like an hour. So
right. That's a really short
film.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to get mad about that. It's an incredible film. My number two slot, again, we'll see if this crosses over with anybody. Everything Everywhere All at Once.
It's higher for me.
Nice. I do not have it on list, although, because I figured somebody's going to put it there because goddamn it deserves it.
You know what? I'm just going to be quiet for another round is what I'm going
to
do.
Well, you know, you'll be able to talk over both of ours.
Talking next.
Nope. Oh. No Man Number Two movie.
I know. Isn't that what? What? All right. Fuck. I'm taking off my headphones and I'm leaving you guys.
Cool. That'll be a lot easier than the list. Did either of you end up watching this one?
I did not.
Watcher?
No, but I should have. I really should have.
It's the storyline is a young couple moves to, a young American woman moves with her husband who's from Bucharest back to Bucharest. And it is, and then kind of I guess you'd say Rear Window-ish sort of thing starts going on. But part of what makes it work really, really well is she doesn't know the language. So her isolation is intense. And she is left alone a lot. And nobody believes her, the stuff that's going on. It's Maikia Monroe, is how you say her name. From, she was in The Guest and It Follows and... Exactly, sure. She was the lead in It Follows.
I feel like I'm thinking of a different movie or something.
I'm definitely thinking the right one, right? Where the trailer is just gray, a brutalist apartment with like a single light lit up window. Yeah. And she's obsessively seeing somebody watching her.
Poster for it. Yeah.
Oh, this is not the family that moves into a place and gets a letter that says, I've been watching your house. Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember what that one's called.
Okay.
Yeah.
But this
I think
is
that's a series.
You also have Bern Gorman. Is one of the bad guys. But I know, it's just, it's largely the performances and just a great job of isolating someone and making it much more scary for that reason. Really freaking good.
Has she seen a killer then, or?
She thinks she's being stalked, and she thinks she sees killings.
Okay.
So it's like a lot window. Of it is she seeing what she, nobody's believing her, but is she seeing what she thinks she's seeing?
Right.
And so it does, it's solid, good, smart, interesting, not earth-shatteringly new or anything like that, but just damn well acted and well directed creepiness.
It's a fun setup to play around with, and it's nice when people pull it off.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've heard of this movie.
This was another one in the Shudder.
Aha.
Yeah, and it was a festival favorite. I remember like writing down some of the big ones that did well in, I don't know if it's Sundance or what, or you know, one of those. And it was one of those highlighted films.
Okay. Well, my number one and Vanessa's number two.
Yeah.
Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah. I'm so proud in this moment. Like, it was a hard choice for me, so I'm glad it's your number one.
I loved this movie so much. Starring Michelle Yeoh, Jamie Lee Curtis, and Ke Huy Quan. Written and directed by, did you guys know these guys go by the Daniels?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Dan Kwan and Dan Scheinert, who are a writing directing team who also created the very strange Swiss Army Man, which I liked but didn't love.
And the music video for Turned Down for What?
Yes, that so as well. Good.
Yeah, I did like the Swiss Army quite a bit.
Yeah, and a lot of people really did. I would say that in a time when multiverses are all the rage, these guys made a multiverse movie about an aging Chinese immigrant. With all the prejudices and troubles that come along with being that, having to face all of her issues with her community, her husband, who loves her very much but is on the verge of divorcing her, her daughter, who has been raised completely American, including all the issues that come with being that, and she is somehow supposed to save the universe.
It's so good. And she can't even do her taxes right.
It's really touching incredible. When it wants to be. It's really funny when it wants to be. It has amazing fight choreography. And I think the effects were as good as anything in these other big budget multiverse films. Oh, but even more amazing when you find out the effects were done by a total of 9 people, two of which were the writer-directors, and none of which had taken any classes to do this. They all taught themselves how to do it from online tutorials.
So good. So good.
Yeah, everything about this movie makes me love it, from the storyline to the behind-the-scenes trivia, to the fact that Michelle Yeoh finally seems to be getting some of the recognition she has deserved in America for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Definitely. Between this and that other...
Ke Huy Quan.
Well, him, but I mean between this movie and that one where she was playing a librarian in a kick-ass...
Milkshake.
Yes.
Gunpowder Milkshake.
And I was just like, oh, finally. I'm so happy she's getting Hollywood big movies. Oh, I just love her.
It's a Yeoh-essence.
It somehow managed to pull off one of the harder things to do and nail it, which is that one magical thing. And you create a weird magical thing, and they didn't mess it up, you know, and such a weird one, too.
So many times they could have messed it up. Yeah. The scene with the rocks sitting there should have been annoying.
I was ready to check out so many times in this film, and it just kept bringing me in. The hot dogs. I was like, I'm going to fucking walk out. No, I'm not. No, I'm going to sit here. No, I'm actually very happy right now.
Yeah,
I would say, you know, the cool thing I found about this film is it's not just a multiverse action film with this really, like, strange choice for a lead in character. But it's also about depression and self-realization and family and motherhood and what true love is in all its messy forms. And like, I mean, I was crying by the end. It's so good.
I spoke to somebody over Christmas and we were talking about favorite movies, and I brought this one up and he said, I made it about half an hour in. I don't know that I'm going to go back to it. And I thought, you know what? That sounds about right.
Yeah.
I made a judgment call on him a long time ago.
Yeah.
And he continues to prove it out.
You know, there is something I will say. I screened this at a film festival I help run. And everyone hated it. People walked out afterwards. Like, I had people loudly complain to me about this movie. And I was, my opinion of what this movie is and who it's for, it really became so rock solid in that moment. Because I was like, fuck all of you. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're missing. This movie is so good. It's just so good. And maybe it isn't for everybody. Mostly baby boomers. Apparently baby boomers are, this movie is not for you, I guess. But yeah.
How funny, because that's exactly who should be embracing it. Based on the main actors.
Yeah.
Yeah. The ages of people and the way it's family constructed. And that's weird. Huh.
But it's got subtitles. So.
That was my number one. Everything Everywhere All at Once.
My number one? Nope. Jordan Peele's Nope.
This does not surprise me.
I'm all right with that. Nope was one that I watched and that was fine. Mm-hmm. But the more it sits with me, the more I like it. And I definitely need to go back and revisit it again.
Yeah, I ended up seeing it twice in theaters, once to watch it with my cousin after I'd seen it. And it's such a wonderful, weird film that, like, yeah, it just, there are these weird things that stick with you and you can't get them out of your brain. And these moments and these scenes that are harrowing and frightening and also beautiful and also like lovely, this whole concept of bad miracles, I love that. You know, when in the very opening, and a little bit of a spoiler here, guys, there's a bunch of stuff that rains out of the sky, including a coin that goes through the main character's father's head and causes him to die. And there's this concept of bad miracles where something happens so perfectly, but in a bad way. And same with that shoe standing up on its edge, right? There's just these strange things just throughout. And they also planted other little cool things in there. The cameras look like the alien heads. There's it's just so thoughtfully done. There's only maybe one scene I don't like, which is them getting stoned after they go to the restaurant. I'm like, I'm really bored in that scene. But other than that, it's perfect to me.
I might have to give this another try. I liked it enough the first time. I really loved the story of the child actor and the chimpanzee.
Yes.
I think my problem was I liked that so much. I wanted more of that and less of the alien stuff.
Once I saw the second time through and I already knew what everything was kind of happening, I could focus a lot more on that storyline and it felt like it punctured through in a different, more powerful way. But I would say you should go through and watch it a second time and see if it feels a little different for you, because all of a sudden you're watching for those moments with that actor and the little pieces that are hidden throughout that are just directly about that story. And it's pretty cool.
I'll do it.
Nice.
Also, on a fun note, when I went to Halloween Horror Nights this year, they had a Nope, part of the Nope set. They had the old Western town, and you could walk through
That's cool.
And people from Us and people from, who are dressed up, of course, from Us and from the other one.
Get Out.
We're
so regular dressed folk.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember who they had for that. But yeah, there was this like a lot of red jumpsuits and then something else was happening. Oh yeah. People stirring teacups and different weird stuff. So it was cool.
Straw hat, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
Yeah. Okay. Get ready to be wrong, Kelly.
Oh, shit.
Number one movie of the year for me this year was the over-the-top, ridiculous, so fucking insane that it was too much fun. And that's RRR. It's dumb. And it did bother me because I thought the dumbness was fun more than just being dumb. It was ridiculous. Dina was, I don't know, out lunch with a friend or something when I watched it. She came home about the scene with the motorcycles at the end. I'm going, so I'm curious, what do you think of this film? She's like, what the fuck are you watching? What are you watching? So it's got a great dance number in the middle. Pure fun.
3 hours and 7 minutes.
Is it that? Wow. Okay.
And it is. Honestly, if it was another hour, I would have been fine with it.
Me too.
You've got the intermission partway through. You get up, you stretch your legs. I remember thinking, there is no way that they are going to keep this momentum. There's no way. I am ready for this film to start to close up, and then it started, and I was like, fuck, no, never mind. I'm happy. Keep going. Keep big, doing what
big,
you're doing.
Big.
So big. So big. Yeah, I tried to look back up some of my favorite scenes from it, and yeah, there's the great dancing, the singing, but the one guy taking down a revolting crowd, a crowd that is revolting, a crowd that wants to revolt. They're not revolting people. They're just revolutionary in their stance. And one guy taking an entire crowd down as
the
beginning.
One of the earlier, yeah.
Yeah, just so. At the start. It's like, what am I in for? Then there's an animal cavalry attacking a whole manor. There's a guy catching a tiger. There's the forest battle. There's so much. There's so much.
I would say, and maybe you could attest to this guy, that if you watch the first 20 minutes or so and you're like, boy, I don't know, just walk away.
Yeah.
Movie is not going to be for you.
It's not going to shift gears. It's only going to go from third to fourth to fifth. You got to be like, all right, I'm happy to be in third gear already.
You know, it might be because this year I really embraced and watched a lot of 70s films that I had missed.
Oh, sure.
And started to really love the pacing of those.
Oh.
This movie was fucking exhausting.
Yes.
It's crack.
And I was just like, it was just too much. It was way too much for me.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't, I couldn't keep watching it.
I would totally agree with that being a very real criticism of this film.
Yeah.
See, you're not wrong. You're still right. It's amazing how we pull it off.
The other thing was, the same thing, all the things that you loved about it were the way I was feeling too, but negative, because I was just like, okay, well, this has got to be winding up. And then I hit pause and I see the red bar is only halfway through it. And I was just fucking furious.
Oh.
I was like, there's got to be other movies I can be watching. I could have watched two other movies while I watched this.
I'm telling you, Kelly, this is the difference between seeing it alone in the living room and seeing it with a bunch of Indian Microsoft employees who are just thrilled to have something from their, you know, home country or of their home country style played and just dancing and clapping and rejoicing while it happens.
That would be great.
I do love that. I love that... that the Bollywood, would you consider this Bollywood? I know there was only the one dance.
It's a Telugu film.
Oh,
so it's
okay.
Not technically Bollywood.
I'm glad that all of these things are hitting Netflix and that you can watch these kind of things, but it's just, it's just not for me. I like a 3X structure.
I mean,
technically,
you know,
there's a 3-act structure there. It's just weird.
I couldn't find the structure in it. And
it's historical fan fiction. What do you want?
I just realized, you know, about 3/4 through it, I was like, I'm not having a good time with this.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I love that you guys had a good time. Should we go through our also-rans? A lot of them got mentioned by you guys.
Sure. Yeah. I've got a couple
because,
that weren't.
Barbarian almost made my list.
Yeah, oh, sure.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
And Something in the Dirt almost made my list. The one that I really, really struggled with was Hellbender.
Mm.
Yeah.
Did either of you guys watch that one?
Oh, yeah. That's great. That was also one that I've gone
with. I was like, God, I can't stop thinking about this. It's made by a family filmmaking team.
Man, I'm going to have so many movies I have to watch after this episode. Jesus.
It's sort of like what I was saying about Terrifier 2 earlier. Where there's some weirdness in that film and some stuff that may or may not work. But once you know the making behind it, it becomes
even more
amazing.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So I thought for sure when I was making my list, that was on my list, the first list.
I figured it would be on your list.
Mad God.
Yeah.
I really struggled with that one too because it's such an accomplishment. But I was like, yeah, I like these movies more. Got to talk about Werewolf by Night.
Yes, definitely. Man, I haven't finished watching it, partially because it is so nihilistic. It is so dark.
Yeah.
Like, God, I am not in a mood for this. I watched, I've seen about half of it. I will definitely finish it. But, because, damn. God, man.
I watched that in two viewings for the same reason that RRR, you know, it was like it was too much, but there was something about it that I think I just was so stunned by the craft.
Yes.
Yeah.
That I understand why it took him 3 decades.
Yeah.
To make that.
I also thought about Studio 666, the Foo Fighters movie. Sure. I really had a good time with, and it was, you know, nice to see Taylor Hawkins one last time. Black Phone, the Joe Hill movie, was really good.
That was almost on my
end. And I almost put on The Princess.
I also almost put on The Princess. I have it written right here, The Princess.
I was sure you would have completely forgotten about that. No, the only reason I know about it is because of you. So those were my...
I still haven't watched that one, I don't think.
You would love
so
it.
So fun. Sure, so good. Yeah, I think I also had a real problem with nihilistic films this year and just had a rough time enjoying those. So pretty much everything I liked... an unbearable weight of massive talent was it's such a mess of a film, but I'm also like, it's so fucking delightful.
Absolutely.
Another beautiful bromance. although The Batman was in consideration. I think that was the beginning of this year. Am I crazy?
No, you're right. It's interesting that, you know, the gigantic movies didn't make our list. Wakanda Forever, Batman.
No. Yeah, just not quite. They didn't touch in quite the right way, but yeah, Black Phone and Prey. And I will say though, Elvis, I hated it the first time I watched it, but not because it was bad. And then I watched it again and I liked it more. And the more I think about it and how it's changed my opinion and my thoughts of Elvis and what society has told me about Elvis versus what I feel like I now know, is it's so powerful. It's such an incredibly impactful, powerful film in that way.
I would say don't let Baz Luhrmann tell you how Elvis's life was.
No, but at the same time,
that film was very loosely based on his life.
It was no.
I there with Queen.
Sure. I fully understand that. What I mean is my entire life, I've grown up with Simpsons jokes about how Elvis did another tour and he shot his TV with a gun when he was fat and he, you know, ate peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Like, that was my knowledge. That and his music. That's all I've had. So having somebody go, actually, he was really manipulated and had a horrible situation where he was almost like caged through the end of his life. That just is so powerful and impactful. And I'm like, well, fuck everybody for making me feel like he was somebody else.
Sure, I get that.
Yeah. Those are the ones I was considering. So, what about you, Eric?
I had Nope on my honorables, and I did, like I said, I went through a couple of those.
Mm-hmm.
One that goes on the list again, largely because I can't believe how good this is Deadstream.
Deadstream was super good.
That made a lot of people's best of this year.
It's very well done. It's funny. It's, found footage without being found footage.
Yeah.
It just worked a lot of way. Couple other horror ones. One I saw near the end of the year called A Hypochondriac.
I haven't even heard of this one.
Mm-mm.
It's, you know, it's like you go onto Letterboxd, you see, you know, oh, wow, this has been rated by like 15 people. It's been rated by 2. But it's a rough watch for me. It's a story of a guy who's losing his mind and going insane. And part of the reason he's having problems is mother issues and dying and stuff. So it's like, oh, well, this is fun. But apparently it is based on the writer-director's real experiences of falling into insanity.
Yeesh.
And then pulling himself out. So it's a tough watch, but damn, it's interesting.
Hmm.
The Northman.
Sure, The Northman.
Better than I thought, but it's nowhere near a top 5-10, but I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I think it also, I went in expecting, because I really didn't think much of The Lighthouse.
Right.
So I was kind of like, we'll see. And it was more than I thought, so.
It's a different speed than The Lighthouse. Yeah. It has a different vibe.
I really tried, and I made it through the movie, but I was like, nah, this is not doing it for me. That guy,
I can see that.
What was his first film?
The Witch.
The Witch,
I didn't even love that one.
Oh,
I keep wanting him to do something I love.
Yeah. Is this Robert Edgers?
No.
Eggers.
Yeah.
I like his stuff, but The Lighthouse was a hard pill to swallow. It was a form of humor I did not enjoy. Shocking.
I like the trailers for all of his movies very much.
The trailers are incredible.
This is true. Anybody here see Troll?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah.
That is a fun film. It's a disaster movie, kind of. Kind of. And meets Kaiju meets Troll.
Couple more. One I'm still kind of sitting on because it's, you know, who it is. Crimes of the Future.
Mm.
Sure.
It's just kind of like, well, was this a good one? Or was this like one of his worst films I've seen in a long time?
I could barely finish it. Did you know that like his first film was also called Crimes of the Future?
What? I did not.
Like, yeah, from like 1974 or something. And I don't think it's the same storyline, but I thought that was interesting when I...
He loved that title.
Yeah, it's a cool title.
Yeah.
Got
yeah.
a good ring to it. Let's try it again.
I mean, it's like, okay, is this whole movie about some guy eating in a weird eating machine and that's his problem is he's... Is that thing supposed to be making life better
right.
for people? It seems right. pretty horrific. I don't know. But it keeps you thinking. It's kind of the reason I... was interested in it.
I get it. As a director, he's done some of my absolute favorite.
True.
And yeah. some of my absolute least favorite.
Yeah.
Art, man. And one last one, kind of a personal one, just because I loved his comedy so much, was George Carlin's American Dream.
Hmm.
Just a fantastic portrayal of him as an artist and the weird world life he lived.
That popped up on the stuff I was looking at too, and I was like, Eric's gonna be a dick and throw a documentary into this.
That's right.
But it was a great documentary.
Yeah, so. That's why I put it on the honorable mentions. And one more.
Yes. I'm very excited about this.
Okay.
We decided we're talking about
some weird abstract 70s crime movie.
Our favorite discovery. Something that we watched this year that did not come out this year.
Sure.
And I spoke about this at the beginning of the year. I had COVID at the beginning of the year, mm-hmm. and I started watching a ton of movies while I was stuck at home. And this was one of them. This was a recommend from our friend Mark Rahner.
Oh. Oh, okay.
1971. It is called Pretty Maids All in a Row.
Oh, shit.
Rock Hudson, Angie Dickinson, Telly Savalas, Roddy McDowall, James Doohan, in a sleazy social commentary written by Gene Roddenberry.
Oh, my God.
Rock Hudson plays a high school football coach who's sleeping with all the high school cheerleaders and murdering them when they threaten to expose him. Roddy McDowall is the put-upon principal of the school who just wishes this would all kind of disappear quietly. And Telly Savalas is the police detective who is closing in on Rock. Angie Dickinson is a substitute teacher trying to get with Rock. Won't she be disappointed in a couple of years? And in one scene, Rock convinces her to sleep with a male student that he is taken under his wing and is kind of grooming to become a psychopath as well. It's all played for very, very dark laughs, the blackest of humor, very sleazy, completely inappropriate. I fell in love with it, and I've watched it 3 times this year.
Oh, my God. So is this more horror or more like, not even thriller,
it
but like
is
action?
Black humor.
Okay.
The murder pieces are, the murder set pieces are pretty tame. There's some blood and everything. You don't really see the murders. You see the bodies.
Interesting.
And Rock is just so goddamn handsome. You're like, fuck. And Angie Dickinson is so gorgeous and trying so hard that you're like, Rock, Angie couldn't turn you straight? I don't know. I just loved it so much.
I recognize the title. I've never seen it, but I remember that.
It is so
great.
Was
it a book, too?
Yes, it was based on a book.
Well, my special, strange, out-of-left-field, fell-in-love-with movie is something I've actually talked pretty extensively about on this show. Haruku the Goblin.
Yay!
Nice. It was so fucking wild. But so good.
That's so cool.
It was just, I want to describe it in any way, but I really can't. And I struggled with it once, so I won't try a second time. But it just completely came out of left field. And I will thank you until the end of time, Kelly, for that.
Oh, that makes me so happy. I hope Brian and Gwen are listening. This would show so well at the Lovecraft Film Festival.
Oh, my God.
Big screen.
Yes, the ending alone is worth it. It's so worth it.
Such a gonzo movie.
It's a doesn't make any sense on any level, but it's so good. And the head and the keeps evolving.
I got to work that one in. I spent like the 100 days for Halloween. I was doing that. And then I was jamming into the end of this year to watch a bunch of, now I'm free to watch.
Did I loan you that? Or yes. Okay. Yeah. You got to watch it. Yeah. You have no excuse.
Sitting right there.
Okay.
So yeah, I cheated on this one.
Oh,
sort of. I talked about this a lot this year. So you guys remember me talking about the book/video series, A Story of Film by Mark Cousins. And absolutely reignited the love of film that I've always kind of had, but then lays it out so beautifully and brilliantly, where I'm in the middle of the Tarantino's book right now. And the contrast between the two is very interesting. Mm-hmm. Where Mark Cousins is very much, this is the movie, this is the impact it had on the world. It's not, this is what it did for me. Mm-hmm. More about that. Well, Tarantino's is very Tarantino. Very, very Tarantino's interpretation of the movie. It's not a bad read, but it's a very, very different experience. And then watching the films or the documentaries where he talks further about them and explains in a different way than it's the book. So it's not like the documentary is just re-watching the book.
Wow.
Amazing shit. And made me just, almost all I've read the last year is books about making films.
Wow.
And stuff. So that was a big one.
Very cool. What is that called again?
The Story of Film.
And it is available how?
Well, the one I have, the book is kind of a textbook. So I had to like, okay, I've seen some of the documentaries. I'm just going to buy this damn thing. It's not, I don't think it's too cheap, but that's on Amazon. And the Story of Film, I think, is just on DVD right now. Mm-hmm. It's probably out there on YouTube and stuff, I would think.
Is that something you can loan to me?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, sure.
Wheeling and dealing over here.
It is an ebook as well. I actually read a large chunk of it, borrowing it from the library.
Oh, nice. Oh, nice. That's the way to go.
Yeah.
Speaking of other things, just other things that have come about this year, I've been reading a lot of digital comics. Are you guys paying attention to DC versus vampires?
No.
I missed this
DC
entirely.
DC versus vampires?
Yes.
I have missed this.
Oh, it's so good.
Is it Black Label? Like, what is this?
That's just, you know, I don't follow really any regular comics anymore, but I love that DC does these weird out of continuity stories, yeah, like Deceased and stuff like that.
Yeah.
This is Batman starts looking around and he's like, a lot of vampire activity all of a sudden. And he's pretty sure somebody in the Justice League is also a vampire.
Ooh.
And so, you know, he's trying to figure it out, and he's got, and the funny thing, of course, is it ties into that old 70s character, iVampire. I don't remember what his name actually is, yeah, but it ties into DC continuity back then. And yeah, so superheroes are suddenly becoming vampires, and that means bad news for us humans.
Yeah, I would think so.
Really
That's
good
so
stuff.
Fun.
Okay, so that was this show. We are going back to our regularly scheduled program next week, but I don't remember who's.
Oh, I think it's me.
I think it is. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Eric can clarify.
Check here. I believe it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah, so because we're entering a new year, I was trying to think of what I could put with that, and whether it be fireworks or big party or what. And I settled on babies because they're new. And I feel like there was a thing, right? An imagery of like father time passes to the baby as we go in the new year.
Baby New Year.
Baby New Year. Yeah. So that's going to be mine. It does not. I know that there was a question as to whether or not it could be a human baby.
Right.
It does not need to be a human baby. It just needs to be a baby.
Okay.
Has some kind of horror around baby.
What about a guy or a girl who calls their boyfriend or girlfriend baby? Is
no.
that a, oh, fuck.
Absolutely not.
I say, boy, that would really open it up, though.
you'll find something.
All right. I like this idea very much. Happy to be going into 2023 with you guys.
Yeah.
Very much.
And all you guys listening. That's very nice. And big thanks to all of you listening for liking and sharing posts, for participating in the Value for Value model, for dropping us a note every once in a while. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Feel free to, you know, send a voicemail.
Oh, yes. What's the number for that voicemail, Eric?
Let's see. It looks like 253-237-4266. Again, that's 253-237-4266. Or leave a comment on our YouTube channel as well. That's not a lot of people comment, but we've got a few people who do, and we always try to respond and say something back if you guys do that.
Every once in a while, I'll get on YouTube, and those show up as, like, you know, my first suggestion. And I just go on there to see who has made a comment, and
Badger.
Yes. And always Eric is responding. I appreciate that, Eric.
That's awesome. Thank you.
I appreciate
Eric.
Everything you do, including the fact that you're going to have to bust ass to get this edited in time for our regular Thursday release.
There you go.
I don't think you have to do anything. Just slap it out as is.
Oh, sure. That'll be interesting.
I'm sure it's perfect.
Take out all the N-bombs that Vanessa dropped and it'll be fine.
Excuse me?
All right. That is the show, guys. 2023, we'll be back in 7 short days and we are talking babies.
Baby.
Transportation and other considerations for Strange Eons Radio produced by Pan Am Airlines. When you think of traveling, think of Pan Am. You can't beat the experience. Guests of Strange Eons Radio stay at Econo Lodge Everett. It's an easy stop on the road, you know what I mean. Strange Eons Radio is recorded live in front of a studio audience. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving us a positive review on your favorite podcast app. Sit, Ubu, sit.
It's so dumb looking.